You're listening to Bob, Dave, and More on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Now here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
It is Bob, Dave, and More here on 710 ESPN Seattle. Well, we've been looking forward to this segment all day. And I would say I thought I was Adam Ray's biggest fan, but I think I've been outdone by Dave Wyman, who laughs just hearing the name Adam Ray, who's with us right now. Adam, how are you, man?
I'm going to be very disciplined today.
What's going on, man?
Hey guys, how are you? Yeah, Wyman, have you stopped photoshopping my head on your body? Or are you still doing that? And that's just something I read on Bruce Irvin's tweets.
Your head on my body or vice versa? Which one?
I mean, dude, you know what? You're the athlete. I will say this. I'm getting in, I've dropped about 15 pounds.
Okay.
So I'm about 15 away from being Mike Salk's, better looking older brother.
Okay.
but it's, when Bobby made this comment, I think it was two or three appearances ago, about something about me squeezing into my jersey at the NBA Celebrity All-Star Game last year. Hey, took offense to that, Bob. You didn't know the emotional truth dagger you were shooting until I cried myself 6 pods deep that night into some Love Island reruns. But I took that to heart. And you also know you're out of shape when you get exhausted watching Pete Carroll chew gum. I was like, I got to get on a treadmill and start moving and sweating because this guy, but I'm getting in shape for, and I know that was your next question, Dave.
Yes.
You're like, dude, why are you need to get in shape? You've got your calves are great. And it's like, well, everything below the knees is locked and loaded. But I'm going to Australia tomorrow, actually, for a month to shoot this show for NBC called Young Rock. It's about Dwayne The Rock Johnson's life, you know, and which is, you know, a pretty incredible story as far as, you know, his dad being a big wrestler and traveling around and being a part of that world as a kid and then going to University of Miami and trying to play football and getting hurt and then, you know, his journey into wrestling and then obviously into, you know, stage and screen, like, is kind of just unprecedented. So there, the show for NBC is all about his life. And there's obviously a lot of characters and, you know, people playing the wrestlers from back in the day. And because it's really, you know, the season is kind of flashbacks of different ages and stages of his life. And so there's so many great parts of his family and wrestlers and whatever. And I'm playing Vince McMahon.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you not? You're not
nice.
Joking
could
with
you
me.
Say that,
no, he's dead serious.
Okay.
Could you say that?
I thought.
Could you say that more surprised and maybe maybe a little bit like you actually could believe it, Dave? Yeah, it's.
I think you can do anything that you want. You put your mind to, Adam. That you can do anything.
Dude, I appreciate it.
Sound like
did you just
mom.
Read that off a Panda Express fortune cookie?
No, your mom texted in. But hey, listen, I want to ask about The Rock because the other day, for some reason, I was watching Reno 911, the movie
oh,
in
great.
Miami.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Great.
So, and, dude, great movie.
Well, yeah, I mean, is it a,
it's a know, great show.
Academy Award winner? No,
great
but
show.
I
no,
love
look,
that
it's
show.
It's a popcorn entertainment, yeah. Of course.
But The Rock was in there, and, you know, he makes fun of himself. He ends up blowing himself up with a hand grenade. But, yeah, I mean,
oh, yeah.
Tell us about him, what kind of guy he is.
Yeah, dude, I, by the way, I can't tell if your pants are on or off right now, but he is a great dude and, he is, he's exactly what you want him to be. Like, I've gotten to meet some cool people, over the years, you know what I'm saying? Like, went out to the Dave Chappelle summer camp, in Yellow Springs, Ohio about 2 months ago, which is where I found out I got the job. And I told my buddy who's Dave's tour manager and Dave, like, you know, came up and was just so complimentary and sweet. And that guy's a whole goat on another level in and of itself. But Dave and Dwayne share a very similar trait, which is they are, you know, at the helm and the king of a lot of things in their life and in control of a lot of stuff and have a lot of people coming at them. And they both are so incredibly generous and present in taking time and looking you in the eye when they talk to you and being attentive and kind. And I mean, I was, you know, he texted me out of the blue to tell me I got the job. I was at the Chappelle summer camp, and he said I had left him my number in an Instagram DM, and we were going back and forth. Just, you know, he was commenting on something that I post on Instagram and saying he liked my comedy. And so then I left my number and said, well, if you want to just, you know, take this friendship up a notch, you know, they're my digits. No response. So I was like, okay, and that's the end of that. But then he texted me and said, hey, it's DJ, in parentheses, The Rock. Let me know when you can get on the horn. And I got some news. And I think someone's messing with me, because I had already been joking on podcasts and David Spade show about how The Rock was ghosting me. And so I call him back, and he goes, give me your best Vince McMahon impression. And so I immediately went into it. And I think, you know, I was in the hotel. It was like 9 a.m. I definitely think I scared the staff, because I was screaming pretty loud. I was just like, I don't got time for this. You know, like, let's get, you know, just screaming. And I heard somebody knocking the door, you know, like, you need more towels? I was like, get out of here, you know. And then he's like, congrats, brother, you got the part. And then we talked for like a half hour. We've talked, you know, for hours since. He's just, you know, he's just really kind. He posted a clip of my stand-up on his Instagram, which got like 4 million views in 2 days, which is, you know, that's Brock Heward high school highlight level. And so it was, you know, just a guy that really is doing it all and has no time for anything, but has, you know, really been you know, more than I could ask for as far as somebody who's welcoming into a show that's, you know, it's his baby. You know, it's real near and dear to his heart. And he's, you know, telling me how iconic of a role it is and how it's Vince has never been portrayed and all this stuff. And he's just great, man. It's so hopefully the friendship continues to blossom. I got engaged a month and a half ago. He sent me a huge gift box of all his Teremana tequila. He sent me like 15 bottles and a headshot. That it was weird, but it was kind, and it was it was great. He just sent me a bunch of booze and a nice card, and you know, he's just a good guy, I guess, for lack of a better word. And yeah, it's weird because, you know, people, again, of that magnitude, I think people automatically go out of their way to assume that they're not
right
people still. Yeah. And it's like, hey, man, if you surround yourself with the right crew and you have worked hard and you know where you came from and keeps his family close to his vest and you know. So hopefully I can FaceTime with him and do some push-ups while I'm locked in quarantine for 2 weeks.
Well, it's
which I did pitch to him.
It's such a cool story. And by the way, I apologize for the jersey comment, Adam. You know I love you, man.
No, Bobby. But guess what, dude? It's those types of comments that you need to hear from your friends. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was actually like a thoughtful, like kind of like, you know, a quick jab. But if you were like, yeah, I apparently Adam's now, you know, I saw him buying bras at Victoria's Secret last week. Like, that would have been probably a little, you know, I would have probably taken strong offense to that one. But no, it was an appropriate comment, and it got me juiced up. So,
well, this thing is so cool. I remember when Adam told me about it, I was proud, like I was his family member or something. I'm like, dude, I'm so excited for you. This is so awesome. And
what's
cool about it, and I'm sitting here thinking as I'm getting ready to ask you, I don't know if there's a clean way for you to tell the story about how you initially came in contact with The Rock. It was through social media, and you were commenting on something with Gwyneth Paltrow, and you made a suggestion, but you got to be careful with this.
For sure. By the way, you sound like my brother and his wife when they had me officiate their wedding. They were like, now just, can you kind of just go over exactly what you're going to say? And I was like, just ask me. Like, I'm going to be fine. Like, if you didn't, like, you know, like, you wanted me to do it, whatever. They got divorced last night. But, no, they're still together. But they, for now. But they, so Gwyneth Paltrow has this huge, you know, I guess you would call it, women's health products, right? She's got a whole line of stuff, like bath bombs for your butt. Like, just she's very, it's very all body, woman conscious, and just earthy, you know, whatever. So she had these candles that apparently were supposed to smell like her her female, where babies come from.
Right, right, right.
And so and they were selling for like $75 a pop, and they sold out in like 5 minutes, which was hilarious to me. And also, I mean, you got to tip your hat. You're like, that is, you know, that is taking advantage of your celebrity if I've ever seen someone do it, where you're just like, I wonder if people would buy a candle that smelled like my junk, you know?
Yep.
And people did. And so I go, you know, I go, well, who's the male equivalent of that? I wanted to post the article, but who could I make a joke about that would be the male equivalent that could make a candle that smelled like their privates? And so The Rock came to mind, because I'm like, this guy's the most popular, universally liked dude. And so I tagged him in it, which I never do. And all of a sudden I started getting these DMs being like, just saw a picture of you on TMZ. I was like, oh, that's actually Wyman's body. They photoshopped it. But thanks for the shout out. Also, do you know The Rock? And I was like, why? And then I look on the picture, and he commented on the picture and made a joke back at my joke, because I said, like, hey, Rock, time to get your blank scented candle. Like, let's hit up Yankee Doodle, blah, blah, blah. The time is now. And he commented. Then he started following me on Instagram, which he only follows like 300 people. He has 200 million followers. So then another candle came out that Gwyneth came out with. I made another post. He commented on that. We went back and forth on Instagram. And then, the rest is history. But, yeah, the power of the internet, as much as social media can really be, you know, you see like both sides of the spectrum. Like, you got Antonio Brown, you know, using it to probably not for the right the right way, and then you got guys that are just, you know, blasting about positive stuff, and then this, you know, who would have thought that a 6'1" Jew from North Seattle would befriend The Rock over DM?
Yeah, you're going to be a major player in his new show. I mean, it's amazing. It went from you just making a joke about a candle, and now here you are going to Australia to film a show with The Rock based on his life.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to say it was on my bucket list, but I'm definitely going to go home, write it down, and cross it off my bucket list, because it should have been there. Yeah, I don't know. What do you have? I've definitely gone back and watched a ton of Rock movies. I don't know if you guys have popped in a couple. If you want to talk just classic action star, I mean, dude, pick your poison. There's so many that are just like, the action's ridiculous. It's shot beautifully. You're like, this would never happen. He's like fighting gorillas on a skyscraper in China. And you're like, yeah, you know what? I buy it because he's so good.
He's in 8 million movies. First of all, there's plenty to choose from. But
yeah.
I like when he's in, he's sort of self-deprecating, sort of playing a comedic role on some levels. And, you know, he had that was a bit.
Yeah.
I mean, even in Reno 911, that was a bit part. I mean, he wasn't quite The Rock yet in terms of his movie star status. And that he was hilarious in that. He was funny in that movie he did with Kevin Hart, where he was like a CIA agent, and he played like...
That was great.
Yeah, he's really good.
I've already pitched him like 40 different buddy cop movies for he and I. And so far, none of them have gotten the green light, but, you know, slow and steady wins the race. He is so funny. I told him, I was like, dude, stand-up has got to be next in your game plan here in just the journey of DJ. And he's like, you know what, brother? He's like... I was like, maybe we could do a tour with the show. And, cause there's other comics that are playing some wrestlers. And he's like, I'd love that. He's like, you know what? He's like, I would do it. He's like, but I just want to do material that bombs. He's like, I just want to go out there and just eat poo. And I was like, dude, that's so funny. I was like, but you know, you're so likable. So that would be a true, because that's what's great about stand up. As famous as you are, if you're not bringing it a couple minutes in after that celebrity, like giving it up, like, people, it's a very just profession where it's like, all right, this guy's garbage. But I go, dude, for you, even if you're bombing, you just pull down a little bit of shirt, flash a little bit of nip, and everyone's going to go crazy. And so hopefully that could happen. But, dude, he was so nice to send me. We were talking about just being married. He was giving me tips. And he's like, dude, just like, you know, always kill things with kindness, communicate. I was like, yeah, man. I mean, even just being engaged – where I've already learned just how we see things differently. Like, you know, my fiance wants a big wedding. You know, I wanted it at Dave and Buster's. you know, she wants, she wants like salmon and you know, steak, you know, bites and, you know, I'm like, Chipotle is fine. And you know, she texted me the other day, like, I'm thinking three kids. I said, new phone, who dis? So, you know, we're still trying to get on the same page with just life, but, you know, it's, maybe he'll officiate the wedding. I don't know. I got to figure out a way to you know, utilize the new friendship.
Hey, Adam, what did you find out about Vince McMahon? I'm sure you had to kind of delve into his life and what he was about and everything. But what are some the funny things with him? Peculiar, I should say.
Well, I mean, his walk is pretty famous. His voice, you know, just his voice kind of down here. It progressively gets deeper and bigger, and you know, he's got just he always sounds like he's just just stood behind the back of an exhaust pipe. You know, his voice is just real rattly and raspy, and he sounds like a guy. He sounds like, you know, like if there was a Smash Mouth cover band in Toledo, Ohio, I could definitely sing backup. Like he's got a quiet, like, not rage, but there's a really powerful presence to him when he's just real calm. And, but, you know, his whole story is also crazy. Like, you know, buying the WWE from his dad and grandfather and taking it over and turning it into this thing that people, I mean, you know, kind of cutting some corners, doing some things as far as like, you know, feeding some, I think there was some steroid use here and there that was like not all kosher, but was doing what he needed to do to kind of, I mean, he was a true fan of the entertainment business and not going to stop until he created this beast of what, you know, for example, WrestleMania was. But he was good to the guys. He took care of his people. He was, you know, a family man and busted his tush. And the fact that he hasn't really been portrayed yet is pretty crazy. Because just really diving deep into his story, it's like, man, there's a lot to unpack. So, hopefully, if the show continues into the later years, because I think it's early '80s where I'm first, popping up as Vince. Obviously, later into the '80s and early '90s and mid '90s, that's when he really becomes a part of things. So,
I got some clothes in my closet for you for the '80s, by the way, that I could loan you.
Dude, can I tell you something? That I think I was born in the wrong era. I mean, I was born in '82, but like, I would have loved to have truly soaked up what was happening. It's like, I feel like I got the tail end. I think I was like being like, hey, slap bracelets, right? Everyone was like, dude, it's 96. You know, but it was, but the tunes of the '80s, I mean, it's like, you know, if there's a day where I don't shower to Billy Ocean's Caribbean Queen or Toto Africa, it's, you know, something's gone wrong the night before.
But he's a big yacht rock fan.
Yeah, for sure. The suits, you know, we got fitted, and the style, dude. I mean, hopefully I can, you know, free up some space on the web for some set shots, but some of these suits are incredible. Like, I would probably, if they let me keep them and wear them after, I'll be like, dude, this will be a great thing to take out to a Cheesecake Factory and see if I can get a free tostada.
You can wear one to your wedding.
Oh, dude, that's not a bad idea. If I say to The Rock, if I can somehow get in touch with Vince McMahon and be like, dude, if you come to the wedding, I'll wear one of your old suits.
Yeah.
They'd be like, dude, who wins in that deal? I'm like, all right, dude, you don't have to be. All right.
How are you going to be able to watch your beloved Seahawks when you're in Australia? Do you have an app or something? Do you have some access to the game out there?
Yeah, wow, dude. We were having a great conversation, and Bob just tried to take it down Depressing Avenue real quick.
They're 5-0. There's no depression here. They're undefeated.
No, I'm saying I don't know how I'm going to be depressing as far as I don't know what my move is to stream the games.
Oh,
know?
Okay. Like,
I don't think there's, you know, Australian NFL ticket, is there? I don't know what I'm going to probably just – I think YouTube Live, there's a lot of, like – rando dudes that will stream the games and give their own commentary, which just for kicks, Lyman, you should definitely peep into some of these these dungeons that these guys are streaming from and just seeing them call the game. It's it makes me appreciate your skills even more so. Where you just got guys that are like half eating a Pop-Tart being like, dude, David Moore coming down. David Moore's firing, run down the field. And he, oh, he's good. Mom, get out of here. And Russell Wilson dropping back and touchdown, man. And, you know, so that might be have to be the route I go to at least get the game. Or I mean, I'm sure I can at least stream it on the 710 app and at least listen, but I might just have to be a highlight guy. But
yeah,
2 weeks in quarantine in a hotel room, I'm not looking forward to, I'll be honest. I've got weights they're providing me with. I'm going to write, probably do a lot of Facebook or IG lives just to kind of connect. But, you know, I don't know. Somebody told me to keep a diary. I'm like, what am I, an eighth grade girl? Like, you know, I might take some notes. I definitely write a lot, but I don't know. Any suggestions on how to keep busy when you're 2 weeks locked in a box?
Yeah, you have to stay in the room for 2 weeks.
Can't leave the room. They have security.
Holy smokes.
I think on each floor.
Wow.
Yeah, man. It's, I mean, champagne problems, I guess, but like, yeah. Also, you know, one of my buddies the other day goes, do you have a window? And I go, and I kind of laughed. And then it was one of those like classic, like comedy laughs where you laugh really quick and then just immediately go straight faced, where I was like, dude, I don't know. He's like, just saying, man, like, are you going to be able to breathe like fresh air? And I was like, dude, I'm 2 days away from getting on the plane. I need positive thinking here.
Yeah.
But it is, you know, it's going to be a challenge. But I mean, you know, I've traveling on the road and we've all done it. Like you're in hotels some days, you're just in the hotel maybe most of the day until you go to your game or show or at least, you know, you always know you're going to leave. So to know that I can't even leave, I don't know what that's going to do to me psychologically, but maybe you guys can have me back on the show when I hit the 10-day mark and see if I've completely lost it.
Yeah,
we'll check in on your mental state.
yeah.
Adam Ray is our guest here. You can follow him on Twitter at Adam Ray Comedy or on Instagram as well at Adam Ray Comedy, both the same tag there. So check him out on social media. Does a great job. A lot of clips of his fan work, his audience work there where somebody will start piping up in the audience, and as most comedians do, and Adam does it better than anybody, he just eviscerates them. But it's good stuff. Adam, man, I'm super pumped for you. By the way, is there anything you want to promote? You have something coming up tomorrow night, don't you?
Well, no, on Sunday I'm doing with Jay Moore and a couple of comics, just a virtual charity gig.
I thought you were doing something with the Sklar Brothers or something.
Oh, there's a show. It's the Comedy Jam where comics sing a song and then do a set and then sing a song about a story they told. But I actually now can't be on that show because I'll be flying to Australia. But I think I might try to send a Zoom set in. But the last time I did it at the Roxy here in L.A., I brought my buddy Jaleel White on, and we sang the Family Matters theme song, which he'd never done before live. So that and I think that clip is on my YouTube and Instagram if you want to go find it. But
is that Urkel?
Yeah, I've got a show, a cart with that now. Urkel, yeah,
that's Urkel. Okay.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he had to take out a phone, and I was like, "How do you not know the words?" And I know every word to a T. and then I got a cartoon called Doug Unplugs. It's a kid show. Comes out on Apple TV November 13th. It's a DreamWorks animation production, and I play a little nose. It's about these kids and these robots, and I play like a very nerdy, you know it all, like safety first, like, hey, Wyman, you can't leave peanut butter on the floor, Mike Salk's gonna slip on it, safety first, like that type of character. Hey, also real big shout out to the Seattle Storm. That was unbelievable.
Yeah.
And Sue Bird is a you got to put her in the GOAT status. I watched that game with my dog Pickles, who is in heat. I did not know that that dogs, when they got in heat, even little Cavapoos, were as aggressive as she is. She's 11 months. She was dry humping my arm. I just feel like I'm 2 days away from coming home and her being in a bathtub with a cigarette being like, get out of here. I'm watching the game with her, and they win. And I played a really fun drinking game. When you watch the WNBA Finals versus the Vegas Aces and the Seattle Storm, it's every time they cut to Bill Laimbeer and he looks like he just got fired from the macaroni grill, you take a shot.
So you were on your backside after that game, obviously.
Oh, I was hammered.
Hey, man, wish you nothing but the best out there. Stay in touch while you're out there, man. I'll provide the Seahawk updates for you if you need me to. So.
Yeah, you're the best about that, man. You guys are the greatest, and I'm listening to you every day. So it'll be, you guys will fill up a good chunk of my time in quarantine. So thank you for doing what you do. And Dave, how is 5-0? Is it just incredible to be around it?
Yeah, I mean, you don't get a chance to be in person. It's too bad because, last year I was flying on the plane and, getting to interview the guys in person.
Yes.
That part really sucks. But,
you miss it, right?
It's just awesome. Yeah, totally miss the interaction with the guys. But, it's cool. It's almost surreal. It's like, really, this has never happened before. Certainly not.
It really is, man.
Any team that I played for, that's for sure.
Yeah.
All right, Adam.
Adam,
good stuff, brother. We got to go. We got to go. Right, we're late, but
yeah, that's right.
Safe travels. I'll hopefully catch up with you while you're out there, man. So stay safe and
you got it.
Look forward to talking soon, buddy.
Thanks, fellas. I love you. Go Hawks.
There you go. The great Adam Ray, one of the best comedians you're going to find out there. He's just phenomenal, and it's part of a huge show. It's amazing you got hooked up with The Rock just by tagging him in an Instagram thing he did.
And making a joke.
Making a joke. And now they're...
Which is what he's good at. So
now he's just...
Makes sense.
Career's blown up. All right, coming up, Dave Wyman posed this question, and we want to talk about it next. And you guys can text in your answers as well. 710-710, the Vizzy Hard Seltzer text line. Who is the Seahawks defensive MVP so far? Talk about that next with Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob, Dave, and Moore.
Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
The 5 o'clock refresh is brought to you by Frost Brewed Coors Light, made to chill. You guys can text in your opinion on who the defensive MVP of this team is so far.
You think we're going to get
a short list?
We're going to get snide comments.
We might. That's okay. 710-710, the Vizzy Hard Seltzer text line. By the way, during the break, Matt Nelson offered to do an impression of you if you didn't make it back from getting coffee in time.
Yeah, I'm not interested in hearing it.
We already heard it. You said, I don't even want to know what that sounds like. And he just goes, football, football, football. That was pretty good, Matt. That was very, very good.
You know, he's one of a long line of board ops that have turned against me.
I don't think he's turned against you. He's got a lot of love.
Matthew Nelson, it's done out of love, I like to think.
All right, so let's talk about this because, again, I think the list would be short in terms of possibilities. You could go offense and everybody. If you eliminated Russell from the equation, you could have multiple people, right? But defensively, I feel like I still need time to think. Who's yours?
You don't want to just give it out haphazardly.
Well, I have a feeling about a couple of guys, but go ahead.
So here's what I would say is, where do they live? Like, what is it that they, if they're able to get the playoffs and get to the Super Bowl and win, what are they going to be there because of? It's going to be takeaways, I should say, and timely big plays. And so if I think of who is the king of that, it's Benson Mayoa. And if you saw my Football 101, probably gave it away, but two sacks for 9 yards. He's got, the two tackles for loss, three passes defensed. He's got a forced fumble. He's got a fumble recovery. So was he the one that forced the fumble on that last play that they ended up picking up? I think he is. Because DeMontre Moore caused the first one, right?
Yeah.
The first one that KJ picked up.
I can't remember who forced the second one.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was Benson Mayoa. So, but he, look at the timeliness. And again, I'll go through Atlanta, two fourth down stops because of him. He had a knocked a pass down, and he got a sack on fourth down. Huge, timely plays. And you can, almost count that as a turnover, but it's not. And then, you look at the Dallas game where he was there for the fumble recovery that Jaron Reed caused. And then, the two interceptions that Miami in the Miami game that Shaquille and Ryan Neal got were because of him directly. Well, especially the first one. But the second one, if you go look, Fitzpatrick really had to not cock his arm the full way, you know, all the way back. He had to kind of throw little bit weird, and Shaquille gets – it was a great play by Shaquille, but still, you can't say he didn't force that. And then, you know, as you'll see in the diagram, not only that last play, but there was a play where it looked like it was probably going to be a first down, mm-hmm. and he gets held. And that's because he did a great job of getting inside and then kind of spinning away from the tackle. And, you know, and then he threw his arms up in the air. He was being held. But sometimes D linemen will do that. And I'm like, stop it. You're not getting
they're
held.
Acting.
Yeah, but he was absolutely getting held. So, you know, he caused that. And then, you know, his hustle to get over and hit Thielen on the sidelines, him and DeMontre Moore both, you know, on the play that set up the fourth down. And then on fourth down, he just made a really good – not only, you know, was he able to get outside of that tackle, but he was lined up inside. So his head was inside of that tackle, and he had to fight back across and then kind of just threw his body in there. So, I mean, those are timely plays.
Right.
And there, you know, there's takeaways involved there. And so it's not like he's a big sack artist. He has two sacks, but still, just his effort – and, you know, the timeliness of those, I think that makes him the MVP. But I'll tell you, you could make a really good case for KJ.
That's what I was just going to do.
Good.
That's my guy.
I'll let you make the case.
Yeah, I would probably say Jamal Adams if he played in all five games. But he's missed a couple games. But in his first three, he was the most impactful of anybody, in my opinion. But through five games, KJ, you look at him, he's got three. He's not a sack guy, but he's got three tackles for a loss. He's got five passes defended. He only trails Shaquille Griffin, who's a cornerback. You expect to defend passes. He's second on the team with five passes defended. He's got an interception and a forced fumble and a fumble recovery.
Right.
I mean, he's kind of been – it doesn't mean he's flawless and he hasn't made mistakes, but he's been physical. We've seen some really physical tackles out of him. We've seen him just be kind of everywhere. He's been everywhere. I think he's been really solid in the first five games on a defense, which, again, it's hard to pick an MVP because – all we've been talking about is how poorly they've played. But individually, I think you'd say Adams, but again, missing games sort of takes him out of it for this conversation. I agree with Mayo has had a great impact, and I think right there is KJ Wright. I think he's been solid, I think he's been reliable, and he's had impact, and he's been physical.
You know, this is his best year so far.
And we thought last year was one of his best years.
Yeah. And you know, look, it's hard. I know Jim will bring up the fact that, well, it's a bad defense. But that doesn't mean that there can't be guys playing well on defense. We talked about, you know, Jadeveon Clowney last year. But KJ, think about it. He's had his hand on the ball five times in the last two games. So he picked up that fumble. So, somebody texted in Wagner because, you know, of the call. I know he made an adjustment on the play against Cam Newton on the goal line, and he also disrupted that play from the backside.
Right.
I thought Collier and Leno Hill had a bigger hand in that, but he did slant them that way. He also made an adjustment on the play where there was a safety against Dallas, where he got those guys to move over and made it a tougher block, but... yeah, it looks like KJ is overwhelmingly on the text list here, or text toy here, KJ, MVP. So, you know, Shaquille Griffin, somebody mentioned, he has two interceptions, but, yeah, he's also gotten beat a little bit. So, yeah, and then there's still people that saying defense is Bobby Wagner. So I think he's always going to get those. But KJ Wright, overwhelmingly, gosh, there must be, it's probably 30-1. I don't think anybody's with me on Mayo except maybe one or two.
He doesn't have the name value. He hasn't been any. I mean, he was here before as a depth guy. He leaves. He comes back as a, you know, journeyman pickup, if you will, and he's been really effective. But KJ's been a mainstay here and is playing really well. So I get them both. All right, coming up, time to reveal all of the knowledge we gained today, see what we learned. It's coming up next with Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Wow, you sure know a lot of stuff.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
So much learning and not a lot of time to go over all of that knowledge, but we'll do our best. Right, Maura?
Yes.
What did we learn?
We didn't have Jim to learn from today, but
and
he teaches us
so much.
We're all smarter because of it.
What did we learn today?
Well, we learned that, Bob, you got a new laugh that I've never heard before out of the professor.
ESPN Power Rankings,
They've got Seattle number one, which surprised me. And they, what's interesting, I'm sure you've already looked at it, but they give a little blurb is written about each team, and it'll say biggest weakness for each team. And for the Seahawks, obviously, it says the defense. Green Bay's number two, it says injuries is their biggest weakness. You scroll all the way down to the very bottom, dead last in the power rankings. The New York Jets, their weakness, John? Football.
I like it.
I didn't even notice that at the time.
Yeah, he has that every once in a while. He's really amused. It's good stuff, man.
John, it's good to make the professor chuckle every once in a while.
Yeah.
I thought that was perfect, though. For people that don't know what that was, we were looking at the power rankings from ESPN, and Seahawks were number one in their power rankings, and for each team it gives a little write-up, and then it says their weakness.
Yeah.
And it said defense for the Seahawks and, you know, injuries for the Packers and too much on Patrick Mahomes' shoulders for the Chiefs. And then the Jets are dead last, and their weakness was football.
Just football.
You know, which is true. How do you isolate what their biggest problem is?
Right.
The head coach?
Playing football. By the way, Jess used to, every once in a while, if you really got her like off guard, you could get a snort out of her.
Yeah, I've heard it.
I'm like, yes, I got a snort out of Jessman.
She's got a very loud laugh.
Yeah, she does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very abrupt.
Well, and it's very abrupt, too. And I was like, you know, always on high alert in there. I would be like jumping, like, oh, jeez. It's like a ha!
Yeah. It could be startling. A little jarring. Yeah. What else
that
do we...
That comment about the Jets is Exhibit A, why no one should ever say that the sports media in Seattle is mean. Because that's an example of the New York sports media.
Oh, yeah, and we also played that clip of the reporter talking to Adam Gase about Le'Veon Bell, and they're sharks, yep. Man. They're like, well, hang on, Adam. He said this. You don't have anything to say about that. I mean, they go right after guys.
Jim would fit in right really well on the East Coast.
Except he wouldn't be as direct. He'd set it up the way he does. I mean, if it's me, I'm thinking to myself, you know, this guy hasn't been very good, and he's not very nice to me and doesn't listen to me, but yeah, maybe it's me. I don't know. Then he'd ask his question. What else did we learn more?
Well, we learned that you got so frustrated with the Titans that you went to Dave's go-to sound effect.
These are the rules by which you are employed and are allowed to play this game. And everybody's adhering and being forced to adhere to these protocols and rules. And you chose to deliberately break those protocols. You were wrong. Period. End of story, as Dave says. So this indignant nature of, oh, they were mad at us and we were sort of ticked off about that.
Ooh.
This one was tailor-made for Bob.
Yeah, two things. First of all, it's not end of story. It's
the end.
End.
That's right. The end.
The other is you missed your calling. You should have been a judge. I could see Bob up on, you know, passing down his ruling. And criminals would fear Bob Stelton.
The
law of the land coming down out of fire, coming down from the pulpit of Bob Stelton.
That's what I'd say with the gavel smash. The end. Yeah, crash.
There you go.
Yeah, now I've got two teams I root against. The Astros and the Titans.
Titans now.
I don't like it. When people screw up, I can appreciate it. Hey, everybody makes mistakes. You did something wrong. You own it. You wear it. You move on. But to act like you're a victim. To act like, oh, we showed them. They were mad at us. Like, as if people didn't have a reason to be annoyed with you. Same with the Astros. Like, oh, what are they going to say now?
Well, it's funny how everybody tries to get this edge. Like, nobody thought we would do this. And, like, I want to say somebody from the Patriots was doing that after, like, four or five Super Bowl wins. I'm like, everybody thought you were going to do
it. Yeah, somebody did say that, didn't they, Maura?
I think maybe it wasn't.
Yeah,
the Patriots.
She said that very sheepishly.
You're not going to get anything from Maura about the Patriots.
No, she's a Maura. I have to give her credit. She's a very objective Patriots fan. She'll call them out when they do things wrong or if a player plays poorly.
Well, did we detect a hint of shame there, Maura? Did you say yeah? Was that what that was? Oh, okay.
No shame here.
No, I meant as far as ashamed of your team because.
They used that card like nobody believed in us.
They used the card a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, that's Belichick's thing. He looks for anything to give them the world's against you.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't think that's a good situation to use that in. I agree.
Yeah, in this situation. Well, in the way
you can use it internally, but don't say it to the public.
Yeah. And the way you wrote it out, Maura, was that how about the teams that you inconvenienced and that had to, you know, prepare for two different teams.
Yeah, I wonder what that week was like for them. I mean, are you watching film on both teams?
Yeah, I guess.
I mean,
maybe go out to practice and go, all right, let's do KC. All right, let's do Tennessee,
yeah.
Whatever it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, that's Buffalo. Lame. That's lame. So, yeah, now I'm rooting against the Titans and the Astros. Go Rays and go whoever the Titans are playing next. I don't know who it is.
Texans.
The Texans. Oh, boy.
Of course, Maura knows that.
I don't feel good about that opponent, but I'll root for him anyway.
Hey, wait. Did we find out how your fantasy football went over the weekend?
Mine? Oh, yeah. I'm in a bit of trouble in my main league because of COVID. I had some issues, because it got me on a early bye kind of last week with a bunch of my players, the Steelers and Titans being off, and then I had another one this week. But I beat, so my friend that I told you I helped her pick out her team and she was undefeated,
yeah.
And I help her every week. We matched up. I was 4 points away from her at the end of that game last night in a garbage time Jonnu Smith touchdown won it for me.
Sweet.
Oh,
so,
there you go. Look at that. The person you propped up to glory, you took out.
Yeah. I'm not doing so well in my other leagues, but I guess I can take credit for basically both of those teams in that league. So there you go.
You put in a lot of work. Take the credit. Did we learn anything else?
We learned that Adam Ray misses the 80s.
I got some clothes in my closet for you for the 80s, by the way, I could loan you.
Dude, can I tell you something? That I think I was born in the wrong era. I mean, I was born in 82, but, like, I would have loved to have truly soaked up what was happening. It's like, I feel like I got the tail end. I think I was, like, being like, hey, slap bracelets, right? Everyone was like, dude, it's 96. That's what you're doing, you know, but it was... But the tunes of the 80s, I mean, it's like, if there's a day where I don't shower to Billy Ocean's Caribbean Queen or Toto Africa, it's, you know, something's gone wrong the night before.
Slap bracelets.
My daughter told me that Toto Africa, the mm-hmm. song, is like super popular with the kids now.
Is it?
Yeah. She named a couple of other ones.
It's popular on Yacht Rock, rated the station. Maybe. I listen to on Sirius XM.
Aha, uh-huh.
Take on Me. That's
that
a great
one's
song.
Supposed to be super popular now.
Is it like a remix version she does?
I don't know.
With the
I don't think so. I think they just it's become one of those that the kids like appreciate it for some reason.
Interesting.
Those kids.
Darn
kids these
TikTok
days.
Has been bringing back some old songs. Fleetwood Mac just shot to the top of the charts again because of a TikTok video.
Oh, really?
Oh, that's because that dude on the skateboard with the Ocean Spray, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you see that video?
No.
Dave? Some guy just skateboarding, filming himself skateboarding with a little jug of Ocean Spray cranberry juice, just chugging it as he's skateboarding. But you got the song Dreams by Fleetwood Mac playing in the background, and it just blew up.
Really?
Yeah, it blew up big time. And
Ocean
by the way,
Spray brought him a brand new truck.
Yep.
No way.
Yeah, because that's it. Went. I mean, again, that's advertising you can't even buy.
Yeah. Interesting.
Anything else, Maura?
No, that's it. I think we learned a lot.
All right, good stuff. We're going to turn you over to the Rays and Astros game already in progress.
What are you rooting for, Bob?
Go Rays. Go. A sweep would be delicious, and maybe we could throw in another error for Altuve, maybe Correa. Could throw the ball in the stands or something. That'd be great. So, big-time Rays fan tonight. Thanks to Spencer Haywood, Yogi Roth, John Clayton, and Adam Ray for joining us on the program. If you missed any of it, head to the podcast page, 710sports.com. Click the podcast button and then click on our picture. It's all right there. We're going to be back tomorrow at 3 o'clock right here with Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.